is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Today, another candidate interview. We're talking to the Republican candidate for Secretary of State in Oregon, Kim Thatcher. Kim, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Hey, thank you.
So tell people a little bit about your occupational background, your education, things like that.
Well, I have lived in my community about 30 years in Kaiser. I've been a business owner 28 of those years, and 16 of those years I've worked in the legislature on things that ends up being very much related to what the Secretary of State, her responsibilities would be. So that would be dealing with elections and being the longest serving member of the audits committee and dealing with public records, trying to make them more transparent and accessible to people. And then also dealing with business matters. Those are all the things that relate to the Secretary of State's office.
With your work in business, what led you to running for the legislature the first time around?
It was apparent that I needed to pay closer attention to what was happening in Salem, and I was actually part of a referendum of a bill that the legislature had passed in 2003. So in 2004, I was asked to run. It was never on my life's to-do list, absolutely not, but I actually enjoyed the work there and reaching across the aisle. I mean, I know it's a trite term, but I really did spend a lot of time working with people on matters that we could find common ground, such as in 2009, passed the transparency website to help get the state's checkbook online.
What about the Oregon State Legislature have you enjoyed the most?
I'll tell you the year I enjoyed the most, that was in 2011 when I was serving in the House. The House was split, 30 members Democrat, 30 members of the Republican Party. And so it was very nice that we could work together. We had to work together. We had joint leadership on committees. I was a co-chair of the Legislative Audits and IT Committee. And that I really enjoyed. There was nothing extreme from either end coming through, and we had to work together. And I think we accomplished a lot.
And during that time, of course, Southern Oregon and the Oregon coast got the attention there with the co-speaker situation that in itself was very unusual.
Yes, it was. It was really nice. We had, of course, Bruce Hanna from the Roseburg area and Arnie Roebland from the Coos Bay area. They were just, they worked well together. We had co-chairs of the committees. It's unfortunate that it didn't happen the next year, but it was really nice to have that cooperation, and I wish we could get more of that.
In contrast, during your time in Salem as a lawmaker, what's been your least favorite part of being in the legislature?
Wow, least favorite part. just lately it's become so much more partisan, so much more divisive. It's a lot more difficult to get things through if you are not of the leadership party right now. And I guess that's my least favorite part, is when things get really divisive and partisan. And it's only happened in the past, I'd say, 4 years.
What made you decide to run for Secretary of State?
Well, I had figured all along that if I had run for a statewide office, that I would run for Secretary of State, because that's where my passion is, that's where my experience is, that's where my interests are. I figured I would be a little bit older. I figured I'd be a little bit grayer. But when it comes down to it, there was just an opportunity to do that right now. And it may work out, it may not, but I figured that this is really the area that I have the most experience, I have done the most work. It's been the hallmark of my time in the legislature, working on the things that deal with the Secretary of State's office, so it just made a lot of sense to do so.
How would you describe, for people listening, the role of the Secretary of State and what they're tasked with doing?
I sum it up this way. Ballots to business. So we got elections, and then the corporation division, and then archives to audits. So archives, we have the public records, and then audits dealing with financial as well as performance audits of government agencies.
And how would your background help you be effective if you're elected?
Well, because I have spent so much time in both the public and private sector, I know what it's like for businesses to deal with, a recalcitrant agency. I know what it's like to have to deal with some of the regulations and the difficulties that businesses can run into as they're trying to navigate their way through. So I have that perspective, plus all the time I've worked on in the legislature on these different items. But my favorite thing was when, in 2011, I was able to bring forward a bill with Representative Kenemer, and we said, we've got to have a business ombudsman in government. We need to have that resource for small businesses to be able to help navigate the difficulties and taxes and regulation and licensing and all those problems. And that passed, and then it was decided that it would go into the Secretary of State's office, the Small Business Advocate, and that was passed in 2013. I'm very happy that it is in the Secretary of State's office, because I think I can give a lot of help there in trying to get businesses back on their feet.
How do you feel like that's helped the business community to have that role in the office?
Well, I think what it has done, in fact, in the past few months with the COVID shutdown, they were very helpful and very busy helping small businesses all over the state, trying to get connected with some of the CARES Act funding and the PPP loans, all the different things that the federal government was helping with and trying to help them navigate that. You know, there's just small businesses don't have a fleet of accountants and people that are able to really take on some of these projects. And the Small Business Advocate was really helpful in directing people in the right direction.
Now, one of the things that comes up, especially in a presidential election year, is just how elections are operated. Oregon has got the long-term vote-by-mail system. What's your take on how it works?
You know, I think we do a really good job as far as vote-by-mail. We've got 2 decades of experience with it. We have a lot of safeguards in place. I think that it does behoove us as a state, however, to give a top-to-bottom look at every step of the voting process, make sure we're not accidentally leaving a gate open where we shouldn't for people who don't wish us well in our elections, people who might want to set us up somehow. But we do a good job, and that's one of my plans, is to give a top-to-bottom look to kind of look at it like a white hat hacker, just to see if there's anything that needs to be shored up.
Have you kind of looked at our system right now, as we see so many states around the nation doing that kind of a quick pivot to try to pull off what Oregon spent years developing and do it in really in a matter of weeks' time to have that vote-by-mail option elsewhere in the country?
Yeah, I think that's a little concerning, because it did take Oregon years to get up to speed as to exactly how they should do, how they should carry out the processes to make them secure. And when you kind of throw it out there as, okay, we're just going to hurry and pivot and do this thing within a few short weeks, that could be very problematic. I'm very concerned about that. I do think that Oregon can serve as a mentor to these other states, but I think it does take a little bit more than just a few weeks to get something like this big up and running in the correct way.
Secretary of State's office is a partisan position. Some people over the years have suggested maybe it should be nonpartisan. How do you assure that things are handled fairly when a party label is attached to whoever happens to hold the office?
Yeah, that is a very important question. And I have said all along, even during my primary, that I would look at this office as one with nonpartisan duties. I really feel that the law needs to be carried through evenly to people, regardless of who they are, what they look like, where they're from, what they believe, any of that. And I look at it much like the former Secretary of State, Dennis Richardson, did, as being nonpartisan. And I am endorsed by Dennis's wife, Kathy, because she knows me and she knows that I will carry through with these, you know, promises to be nonpartisan and to carry through with accountability, transparency, and integrity like her husband did.
Do you feel, though, that, maybe there's a scenario where it should become an actual nonpartisan office?
I would be fine with that. I would absolutely be fine with that. That would, of course, have to be a change that would not go necessarily through the Secretary of State's office. It's not a decision I can make, but I would support that.
As you look at the Secretary of State's office, if you're elected here in a few short weeks and take office early next year, are there changes you're already looking at making?
Yeah, I would. I want to put in place an independent redistricting commission, much like Secretary of State Dennis Richardson was doing, and much like what was proposed in the initiative petition 57, which did not make it to the ballot for several different reasons, but not the least of which it was a very popular measure. It was people, not politicians, if that sounds familiar to people. I want to look at how we're dealing with campaign finance reporting on the system that we have in place. I think it's kind of difficult to follow. I think it's difficult for people to follow the money properly. And there are other states that might do a little bit better job. Maybe we can look at upgrading in that way. I want to look at our Oregon centralized voter registration system and update that, whether it's replacing the system or just simply updating it. There are a number of things that I want to do. And I think it's important to, you know, just make sure that we maintain that nonpartisanship and listen to all Oregonians. That's what the office is for.
Are there particular areas of how the Secretary of State's office is run right now that you definitely want to keep in place, keep them moving forward like they are right now?
Well, there were some things put in place while Dennis Richardson was in office. I would like to go back to some of those things. He had so that he would make sure that we had outreach to those marginalized communities. He had a person in place to help do that, and I would like to continue that. I want to make sure that people do realize that I am there to help all Oregonians. I'm trying to look at the different businesses, the different regions, the different kind of groups. So we've got minority-owned businesses. If we have businesses down in the, you know, Douglas County area. You know, just look at those different types of groups and then figure out what is needed to help them succeed and, you know, get back on their feet if that's the case, which is the case for too many businesses right now.
One of the roles of the Secretary of State, of course, is being one of the members of the State Land Board. Explain that part of it.
Yes, I would be a member of the Land Board, and the Land Board is supposed to, obtain the greatest benefit for the people of the state using techniques of land management, sound techniques, and that is something that's in the Constitution, but there is a little bit of vagueness to what the goals of the Land Board should be. I just think that I can think one thing. I think that the greatest benefit for the people of the state might be to be able to have a long-term plan for harvest of forestry, for example. The forests need to be harvested, but not to the detriment of our environment, and certainly not so strict that we don't have jobs and the ability to fund our own programs within our state. So I think it needs to be a balance, and I would love to have a citizen group of people get together and advise on what really should be the priorities and directives that are assigned to the Land Board, just kind of reevaluate them and make sure that we are going in the right direction.
And I didn't get a chance to look around and survey, but it seems like having this State Land Board with the governor, the state treasurer, and the Secretary of State sitting on it is a bit of a unique situation.
Yeah, I guess it might be, but it's been our process for a long, 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 long time here in Oregon. So just making sure that we have, just those three votes are all that's needed to participate on this Land Board. But I do think it's important we reevaluate the priorities and directives that are assigned to the Land Board, that we make sure that we are making best use of our land in the, you know, for the benefit of the people of Oregon.
Now, the Secretary of State is next in line of succession to the governor. Are you comfortable with that?
That is the job of the Secretary of State, yes. If anything should happen, it would be the Secretary of State would be next in line. I only have seen three instances in Oregon history where a sitting Secretary of State succeeded to the governor's office. And, of course, this last time is fresh in our memories since Kate Brown was that Secretary of State, that the latest one, anyway, to succeed to governor.
And is being governor something you aspire to be eventually?
No, I just have my eye on the ball as far as serving as Secretary of State. That's really my goal and where I want to serve. And if it ends up being something other than that, I'm prepared because that's part of the job of Secretary of State. But I'm not looking at higher office at this point. Just being Secretary of State for the next 4 to 8 years if I run for re-election and I'm re-elected.
As you've been campaigning throughout the year and especially into the fall, campaigning is obviously very different this time of year with COVID-19. What's that been like?
Well, yeah, at first just leaving session at the end of, well, I guess it was the beginning of March, parades and gatherings and conventions and rallies, all those things were just cancel the whole time. So thank goodness we've had some the ability to meet with technology, either over the phone like I am with you, which would probably be a normal thing anyway, or on the Zoom. That's kind of a new adjective everybody or now and everybody has in their vocabulary now. It's kind of funny. Yeah, it has been very different. Not going door to door and meeting with people that way, one-on-one, is kind of out the window. It's very unique.
Have you kind of missed the opportunity for the interpersonal interaction, whether it's business leaders or just average voters?
Yes, very much so. Meeting in person, there's nothing that can replace that, though I am, like I said, very happy that we do have the ability to at least meet virtually. Nothing can replace meeting in person and seeing eye to eye and sitting in the same room and having that camaraderie. That's very much missed.
What kinds of things have you heard from people in these virtual meetings and other opportunities you've had in terms of what people are saying they want to see in the next Secretary of State in Oregon?
They want a Secretary of State that will serve as a check and balance and will serve it in a nonpartisan way. They're concerned about their kids not being in school. They're concerned about the endless emergency orders from the governor. They're concerned about the riots that have happened up in Portland area for months at a time. And then they're also concerned about the wildfire response and our forest management. Those are the big things. And they want a Secretary of State who will hold government accountable, look into these things, get the questions answered, and seek solutions.
Final minute here. Take 60 seconds, and for people who've gotten their ballot in the past few days, why should they vote for you?
Well, I think one of the big things is I do have that experience. I've been there. I have committed. I do have support of the former Secretary of State, Dennis Richardson. If they like the path that he was taking us on, definitely vote for me. I need people to look at, there are about 200,000 voters that were not Republican who have crossed the aisle and supported Dennis Richardson. So I'm hoping to talk to folks and get people to talk to their neighbors and friends that are non-affiliated voters or Democrats and just have them realize I do have that experience and that commitment to treat this office in a nonpartisan fashion. I've been in the legislature for 16 years, having to work across the aisle with Democrats. So it's not new to me to have to do that. And I will continue in a nonpartisan fashion in this office. I think that's very important.
Republican candidate for Secretary of State Kim Thatcher, thanks for being on this afternoon.
All right. Thank you.
1255 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.